Everyone, I think, recalls the life science project in which a child takes an egg carton and a handful of beans and some potting soil. The child fills the cups in the carton with soil and then pushes a bean directly into the center of each cup of rich dirt. Soil is carefully brushed over the top of each bean. And the child then selects the windowsill with the best direct sunlight on which to place the carton. Daily, a bit of water is added to the experiment until the child's wonder and surprise reveal shiny green beanstalks rising from the cups. A windowsill lesson in the miracle of life. You remember that project? In a huge city like Houston, and indeed in our increasingly urbanized world, this may be the closest to sowing the soil that many children will ever get. But even in miniature, the experiment teaches an important lesson about sowing. Everything is precious. The soil, the sunlight, the water, and especially the seed. Nothing can be taken for granted. Each component, however small, is essential to the success of vitality, growth, and life. When I lived in Virginia, I bird hunted in cornfields. And by far, the best field I ever hunted was one owned by a farmer who had a habit of taking to the bottle fairly early in the day. Consequently, he was a sloppy farmer, both when he sowed and when he cut his field. He tended to leave as much grain scattered on gravel and inclines and the surface as he did in furrowed rows. That made for great hunting. It did not make for much of a harvest. The farmer had forgotten what every child knows: to take deliberate and tender care with the seed. Such care is important even in the ridiculously rich and fertile farmland of the Mississippi River Delta, around which I grew up. It is doubly so in more parched areas of the world, where the soil is thinner and there's less predictable rainfall, such as the ancient Palestine of Jesus' day. There, every seed matters. And careful coordination of seed and soil and sun and water is necessary for a successful and sustaining crop. And with all that in mind, let's look again at the gospel reading today. The parable of the sower. A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the footpath, where birds came and ate them up. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where they didn't have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since there was no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they just as quickly withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. And other seed fell on good soil, and it brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now, for the villagers and subsistence farmers to whom Jesus first told this story, it was scandalous. Do you catch why that would be so? With precious seed, the very difference at harvest time between life and death not to be wasted. The sower in this story is sloppy. The images of a farmer walking or maybe stumbling through the field as though he's drunk, throwing seed hither and yon, taking no heed of where it falls. and the farmer reaps what he sows. In every case but one, the seed fails to find its purchase. Were Jesus' story only a pithy parable about a careless farmer, the people who are listening might shake their heads in amusement and call the man a fool. But the sower in the story isn't just any farmer. It's God. So what do they, or what do we, make of that? Well, before we can form an opinion of God in Jesus' parable, it's worth considering again the second half of the gospel reading, where Jesus reveals the identity of the soils in the parable's metaphor. If the seed that God sows is the gospel, then each of the soils, it turns out, is a different kind of hearer. One hearer is the footpath, where feet trample the seed. Another hearer is rocky ground, where the seed can't take root. Yet another hearer is a briar patch, where thorns choke the new shoots. And only the fourth hearer is good soil, where the beanstalks grow. Four different hearers, four different soils. And the question begged of each person who listens to the parable is this: which kind of soil are you? And yet, reality is more complicated than that. I myself have read this parable more than 100 times over the years, on different days, in different phases of life. And like a tableau that shifts with each reading, I discover that my identity in the story changes each time. One time when I read this parable, my life is harried. Deadlines loom. See, my prayer and study, I believe, actually steal precious time from the work in front of me. And so I goose-step through the parable, trampling its message underfoot. And I get up from my chair as quickly as I can to take care of the important things that I have to do. You know, all those things on my to-do list. Another time I read this parable and it connects with me in ways that warm my heart and bring me joy. I get enthusiastic for God and for the wisdom of Scripture and for the ministry of this place. And I leap up from my study renewed. And then I get online and check the news feed. And I remember the financial pressures that ministry faces. And the drudgery of the day takes over. And the shallow root of the gospel withers. And I can't even remember why the parable moved me so in the first place. Another time, I study this parable as I am also working with a grieving family. Or visiting a loved one in the hospital. Or navigating a vicious argument with a cherished friend. The parable tries to speak to me, but I am choking on the thorns of life, and I just can't hear it. Do you see? The different soils are not different people. They are all me. And they are all you, depending upon the season of our lives. See, despite what some more evangelical Christian traditions might contend, the life of faith is not a steady march toward attention to God and spiritual perfection. Faith is rocky. It's thorny. It's sometimes shallow. And it can often be trampled underfoot. and the lived experience of our lack of attention, or our fickle and transient commitment, or of a world that seems to conspire against us, can be deflating. In those moments, we might ask in near despair, as God sows the gospel in the world, why would God waste precious seed on us? And that is why Jesus tells this parable. See, it turns out God is not a careful farmer. And in the economy of God's spiritual agriculture, the seed of grace, while surely precious, is not scarce. You see, no matter what soil you are today, God sows grace upon you and within you. You may be distracted, even during this sermon. That's hard to believe. And you may wish that you were somewhere else. Or maybe your heart is moved, but you have the sinking feeling that your enthusiasm will wane by the time you get to brunch. Or maybe there are anxieties or dependencies in your life that are consuming you. And even as you sit here, are choking you like thorns. And yet even now, God sows grace. Hither and yon on the rocks and the inclines and the shallow ground in your life, God sows grace. In ways so small that in the moment we may not even notice, God sows grace. That's the miracle of this parable. And in addition to miracle, Jesus' parable ends in promise. As people of faith, no matter what soil you were yesterday, no matter what soil you find yourself to be today, God is slowly, meticulously preparing you and enriching you with love like sunlight, with the sacraments like nourishing water in the soil of this cathedral. God tends each of us like the farmer tends his plants, so that the day will be, and maybe for some of us, even this day, when God's grace growing in you and in me will bear fruit 100-fold, and when our very souls will bloom. Let those who have ears to hear listen. And thanks be to God.